So, it's been almost 3 years to the Sunday since I've actually been in this pulpit to preach, despite having been here in few capacities in the last few years. My last preaching engagement was in June of 2016, so I'm glad to be back one final time before I leave to my next congregation. I also am grateful to have a chance today to wear my finest dress. It's not very often that I get to wear this, and I will admit it's one of the perks of the job I enjoy. So, today is Pentecost, which is probably one of my favorite holidays. First off, it's a holiday that doesn't have a lot of build-up or preparation to it. I mean, be honest, how many of you knew that today was Pentecost before I mentioned it this morning? I see one, I see two, three, four. So there's a handful. Let's just say there's a dozen of you that knew. It's a good biblical number. But that's my point exactly. It's a holiday with little build-up or fanfare. And now here we are together this morning celebrating Pentecost. Like a thief in the night, this feast day comes and goes. The second thing that I really love about the holiday of Pentecost is all the talk of being filled with the Holy Spirit and tongues of fire and being called to go forth and do holy work, to bind what is broken, and to raise up the former devastations. I think that what I find meaningful in that theme of fire and Holy Spirit and holy work, the theme offered by Pentecost, is that call. That is what I find meaningful, that call to engage the world. Pentecost is a holiday that calls us to move beyond complacent argumentation and instead seek to create a world where compassion and justice flow freely. And the third thing that I really love about Pentecost is this whole weird thing of the former teacher haunting his students. It reminds me a bit of when I'm trying to write something like this sermon or a paper, and I hear the voices of my former professors saying things like, "Always prefer the active voice, Zachary." Or, "Be sure to cite your sources." Only in the case of the disciples, the Holy Spirit is like, "Get out there and heal the world. Stop arguing amongst yourselves. There's not enough time for that." It's kind of cool. In a way, I think that it's this sort of haunting that happens in the Pentecost story. This Holy Ghost spirit, whatever it is, this force that reminds us of the things that we are teaching. I think it's this sort of haunting that many of us in our own lives hope we can accomplish. To leave a positive impact on people. An impact that continues to shape and teach lessons, even in our absence. So it's actually this haunting quality I want to discuss today. This sort of ghostly, spooky action that lingers longer than we are present. So there's a book that I'm kind of really into. It's a literary theory book titled Spectres of Marx, by a French theorist, Jacques Derrida. And in this book, Derrida puts forth a theory that the present is always haunted by the past. That is, that as long as we cling to this idea that I am me and you are you and this moment is separate from that moment, that whatever comes into the present moment will always be informed by and engaged with what came before. Derrida named this theory hauntology and clearly labels these ghostly forces as specters. He has a whole example he uses where he does a textual analysis of Shakespeare's play Hamlet, in which he points out that Hamlet really begins when the specter of Hamlet's father comes and calls his son into action. And Derrida goes on to say that just like Hamlet in this play was called into action by a literal ghost, that each of us is called into action by the ghosts that haunt us from our own past. Those ghosts can take on many forms: people, lessons, books, songs maybe. There's a lot of things that can be that can become specters for us. Using this language, this idea of specters, I can't help but begin to wonder, when I'm gone, what ghosts will I leave to haunt you? What specters will remain in my office or in the committee meetings that I attend, reminding you of the things that I asked you to do with me? Now, I don't want to put myself in the sandals of Jesus and say that my haunting will be as impressive as the Holy Spirit descending as a rushing wind with tongues of fire. But I do believe that in the same way I'm taking many lessons from my time in this congregation with me, I believe that I'm also leaving lessons for all of you. Specters to be conjured up, or perhaps exorcised. Memories to be crystallized or forgotten. It's only in my absence that these emanations will fully be revealed to all of you, just as your emanations and specters will only be fully known to me when I'm gone. But I will say, despite the revelation that will come later, I'd feel a bit remiss if I didn't conjure just one ghost for all of you today. One point to bring to your consciousness, so if nothing else, you can at least say that someone said it once. So, I came to UUCB in the fall of 2015 when Greg Ward was still here as the interim minister. So I was an intern during an interim, which is confusing. There's a lot of I's. But I came here at a time when the community was in transition. They were in the final year of the search process, which brought us Reverend Christian and Kristen. And anyone who was here knows that those times of transition can be difficult. And I was here. And during that time, I heard people begin expressing a desire to grow, to become more relevant. And since I've been here and years going forward, I've heard this same conversation come out of different places, different people, presentations. This idea that we somehow need to grow to become more relevant. And I've always heard this conversation, whenever I've heard it, expressed in terms of somehow if we just grow in people, in numbers, then we'll be relevant. It's been framed in this way that somehow it's the people in numbers that will make us that church that we want to be. That somehow we just need to keep doing what we're doing long enough until more people discover us. I, for one, have never quite truly believed this. I don't think it's the number of people filling the pews that is going to make this church the beacon on the hill you all long for it to be. Passionately long for it to be. Rather, though, I've always held that it is when we become more relevant in the world that we will grow. That in becoming active participants in shaping our community, we will let people know about the healing and transformative power of Unitarian Universalism. It's easy at times to be like the disciples on the eve of Pentecost, arguing amongst themselves at the best way forward, continually talking past each other rather than doing the work their teacher taught them to do. But it was not until they felt the presence and calling of that spectral force that they were able to move beyond this arguing and began engaging in the work of justice making and healing. It was when they chose to answer the call of the world that they became relevant and grew. Now, I always have to make this disclaimer when preaching from a biblical text. I want you to know, I don't think that the narrative put forth in the Bible is the literal truth. I don't think it's the divine, God-given revelation that was handed down as is and should be taken as fact. At the same time, I also feel there is a lot we can learn from considering the story of Pentecost. It's a story about how an obscure religious sect can transform the world, and through this work of transformation, grow into a relevant movement that spans the globe. For me, when I hear the conversation of growth and relevance here at UUCB, I can't help but think of the story of Pentecost and wonder what growth would be possible if this obscure religious community up on this hill did things differently. How would things be different if we started by asking about the needs of the people in our community and how we can help meet those needs? What would it be like if we stopped debating everything and started doing everything? Taking on projects with tangible results and focusing our energy, our attention outward. I don't bring all this up to speak ill or imply that you're somehow doing church wrong. There are so many wonderful things about this community that I am grateful to have experienced. But still, before I go, I felt I should share this message because I believe it. And like a specter, I kind of want my opinion, my questions, to linger. I want them to cross your mind as you sit in planning meetings or are gathered as a congregation to vote on important issues. I want you to constantly be asking, how is this congregation transforming the world? Today, there's an opportunity for some of you, if you so choose, to begin exploring this new paradigm. You may have noticed when you arrived at church this morning that there's a tiny house living out in our parking lot here. This tiny house was brought up to UUCB this weekend by our June Good Neighbor partner, Youth Spirit Artworks. This organization is working to meet a need within our community, to perform healing work through art while simultaneously addressing the issue of youth homelessness by building tiny homes. They've asked us to partner in this work with them. And if you choose to partner in this work, to go out and make this community relevant, I'd encourage you to maybe start by exploring how you can get involved with this organization. This is just one possibility I'm presenting because it's right there today for you to consider. When I think about this partnership and other such partnerships and the possibilities they represent for UUCB to become an institution committed to changing the world, I can't help but get a little excited. This is the work that the Holy Spirit called the disciples to on Pentecost. This is the work that our Unitarian Universalist principles and values implores us to undertake. This is the work that we all can agree the world needs. Why not do this work together because it needs to be done? And if growth follows, so be it. The purpose of the church is not growth. It's transformation. And I pray these words will remain with you when I am gone. Before I close, I want to take a moment to turn back to the reading I offered earlier. The reading comes from the opening scene of Khalil Gibran's book of poetry titled The Prophet. In this scene, the prophet character, Al-Mustafa, is confronted with the reality of his impending departure. For 12 years, he has lived among the people of Orphalese, but now his ship comes to bring him back to the isle of his birth. In this moment of tension, he vexingly ponders, "Fain would I take with me all that is here, but how should I?" And so, as I stand here before you today, I feel this same line of thinking running through my mind. Fain would I take with me all that is here, but how should I? For Al-Mufasta also said, "Alone and without their nest shall the eagle fly across the sun." And while I'm no eagle, this community has been my nest for some time, and my wings are in need of some sky. It's time for me to go, but I promise to take with me all the lessons I've learned here. I'll let these memories and lessons haunt me like specters calling me into service of the holy. Thank you for the part you have played in my formation. I promise you, no matter where I go, I will do my best to make you proud and carry the mission of this congregation out into the world, working to continually advance the cause and values of our chosen Unitarian Universalist faith. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.